from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we continue our journey through this Lenten season, I have been continuously reflective of the imagery, the teaching point, for me personally, and for us as a people of faith, that are presented to us in Scripture about this holy season. This journey to Easter celebration, when we witness and proclaim the resurrection of our Lord. This is indeed a time of preparation in our church's tradition. We call this season before Easter Lent a time of fasting, for many of us, a time of giving up things as a commemoration and a remembrance to grow in our dependence of our Lord as we journey to Easter and the holiest of celebrations in our faith. So today, as I reflect upon this season of Lent, I want to share with you some of my thoughts about what this time of fasting and preparation say to me about our journey with our Lord. To embrace this word Lent with an acronym that speaks to me, a model, not the perfect model, and certainly not the only model of what Lenten season represents, but for me, some of the principles that have inspired and impacted my journey during this specific season of this holy time in our church. The L of Lent that I've been continuously contemplative about recently is that this is a time for us as a church to listen. To listen more intently for the voice of our Lord pouring life into us. You know, traditionally, for many of us, we think of our prayer time as a time to talk to God. And certainly it is that, for our God is ever more eager to listen to us. But what if, in the midst of our continuously talking to God, that we more fervently during this season make an effort to listen more attentively through prayer? What is God trying to say to us? Great leadership experts tell us, wonderful coaches, successful politicians, they all explain to us that listening is paramount in leadership and inspiring people. And if our holy God is willing to listen to us, then shouldn't we, church, embrace that same commitment during this holy season to listen more fervently for what God may be saying to us as family, as individuals, as church, for a call upon our life to serve more graciously the God who graciously served us. The L of Lent, listening. As I transition from the L of Lent, what I've been thinking about recently with the E of Lent is not only Lent a time that we give things up, that we sacrifice things that we enjoy, but we embrace, that's the E of Lent, we embrace more fully commitments to our faith. What I mean is this, it's not just a time to say, I'm not going to eat chocolate. But when we give something up, as we talked about in our Ash Wednesday service, it also gives us time and it gives us more focus to what we will embrace. You know, the old adage, many of us have heard, that a bird in a hand is worth two in the bush, right? To grab that other bird, you have to give something up. And so it is in our busyness of life. Friends, this is a time to give up more things in the world that distract us and separate us from God, and to embrace more fully our walk with our God. That's what the Lenten season is for me, and what's prominently been before me as I've journeyed through these first 2 weeks of Lent. The end of Lent. The end of Lent reminds me to be intentional. Now, I know some of you unsophisticated people out there spell intentional with an I, but in Faulkner, we spell it a little differently. Intentional, that's the N of Lent. What does it mean to be intentional? It's not by accident. You see, that's what the fast does for us in our life of faith. It reminds us. It is a constant prodding and poking for us to be mindful of our dependence upon God. You know, when I'm preparing to leave in the morning, before I get all my things together, when I've really got it all worked out, I place my briefcase at the door. You know why I do that? Because I want to be intentional not to forget it. I place it in my way. It's a reminder. It's an inspiration to pause and grab what I need to make me have a successful day. How about that for our fast? When we are sacrificing the things that we enjoy, when we want to reach for that extra cup of coffee, oh no, I can't give up coffee for Lent. But it is a reminder to us to be intentional that we need our God more than anything that the world has to offer. And finally, the T of Lent that I've been mindful of during this season. That Lent, perhaps most of all, friends, is indeed a time to thank God for the sacrifice of our Savior. That's the T. We are thankful. As we strive to be people of sacrifice in our fast, as we give up things, we're also mindful and remember that Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days to prepare Him for ministry, to serve this world, and ultimately His sacrifice ended on the cross of Calvary, where He embraced death for all of us so that we may know life. those are reminders of Lent. And you know, as I reflect upon that Lenten message today, I also am inspired by the words of our gospel. Here we are halfway into my sermon, and I'm just now reflecting upon our scripture of the day. But the words that our text ended with me today, I think in many ways symbolize our journey for Lent. When John said those familiar words, not quite as familiar as verse 16, but certainly just as comforting to us in our journey of faith, verse 17, where the writer says, the Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. You see, friends, those words speak to me about Lent. Because oftentimes, we can beat ourselves up in our faith journey, right? We're unfair to ourselves. We place perfectionism upon us, unrealistic expectations. And if we're not careful, we will condemn ourselves as unworthy of God's love. Friends, hear this with me. Will you receive this, church? The condemnation you are feeling is not of God. For our God came into the world. Our scripture says not to condemn, but to what? To save us. And let's go even further. If we think of that word save in our current culture, it's to deliver from destruction, right? It's to preserve life. It's to cancel out and set us free from worry and anxiety and persecution. That's what it means to be saved from something in our culture. Well, perhaps the opposite. Hear me now. Perhaps the opposite is true as well. When we condemn ourselves or we condemn another, then we are practicing destruction, worry, anxiety. We are practicing the things of death. For our God is not a God of condemnation, but a God who saves and delivers us unto life. May we be that for ourselves and for the world around us that we serve. In this world where there's continuous division and separation, whether it be politically, socially, in upheaval, where everyone wants to condemn the other, may we be the church and set apart and not be people of condemnation, but people of affirmation through the love of our Lord. Friends, that is the life-giving saving that our God offers. But John 3:16, how do we consider this passage today without also understanding another acronym of Lent built upon the life of our Lord? So I give you another. This side of the room today, I want y'all to focus on the first Lenten acronym I gave you. Y'all hold on to that one. This one here, I've got another one for you that you embrace. The Lenten acronym of John 3:16 says this. The L of Lent is that God loves us. God so loved us that He gave His only Son. The E of Lent that John 3:16 teaches us is that God so loved everyone. God so loved us at our worst, Randall. God so loved us when we deserved it least, Judy. God so loved everyone. The end of John 3:16 reminds us that because Christ died, we will not die. The end is that we never perish. Through the love of our Lord, we are sustained forever. And finally, the T of John 3:16. How do we make this possible? How do we embrace the life-giving love? How do we receive it that's available to everyone? How do we assure that we will never die but will live forever in our Lord? It's simply by embracing the T of John 3:16 and trusting God and not self. Isn't that what it means to believe? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes or whoever trusts in Jesus Christ to do for us simply what we can't do alone. Friends, this is the journey of Lent. To remember the sacrifice of our Lord who came to us not to condemn us, but to save us unto life-giving love, eternally in glory and more fully now as we live out our life in service to our God and the people around us. To God be glory now and forever. Amen.